Welcome to Verbal Mirrors Reflecting Understanding podcast, where the power of words becomes a bridge between worlds. In this podcast, we embark on a dynamic exploration of the human experience, weaving a tapestry of diverse voices, stories, and perspectives. I am your host, Lavinia Richards. Join us on a journey that transcends boundaries, fostering connection, empathy, and a deeper understanding of the rich mosaic that defines us all. Get ready to reflect, resonate, and embark on a transformative odyssey through the art of conversation.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Verbal Mirrors Reflecting Understanding podcast. It is me, Lavinia Richards, and I am so happy to be here. Listen, I don't know if y'all ready for today, y'all. We got an amazing topic. We're going to be talking about from romance to control, analyzing the early warning signs of domestic violence in teen dating. And I have none other than this powerhouse that I'm getting ready to bring up. Mr. J. Lockett, I need you to go ahead and come on up for the people so they can see who you are. I want to thank you. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm excited. I'm really good. You know, I've already chopped it up with you before. So I'm excited to be here with you because I know we're going to have a good time. You know, I like what you stand for. You know, I met you through Shauna Majors, and shout out to Shauna because she's a powerhouse. Shout out to
Boss Lady.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And she connected me with you, and really love what you stood for, love what you're doing in the community. And I just knew that I needed to have you on the show. Right. So before we dive into our topic, go ahead and let the people know a little bit about you as to why you have any experience or knowledge on this topic at all. Let them know who J. Lockett is.
So pretty much I'm from Miami, Florida. I just came up to Indy since December. I had a family member told me about the area, so I wanted to come check it out, and I just fell in love. So now I'm here. But I see all types of things in Miami. You name it, domestic violence to criminal activities to everything in the streets of Miami, Florida. But a little bit about me, I've been in this field working with kids, working with just domestic violence or jails. I bounced in and out of mental health hospitals and in the field. So ever since, I want to say high school, I've been volunteering in the hospitals. Then I worked my way up the ranks by going into the jails and then dealing with the kids. I never really had somebody like me come back into the community and tell me about things. I had to kind of figure it out on my own or learn it by myself or see somebody do something and kind of take and run with it. But I never really had somebody to come back in the community and talk to me like what I do.
Yeah, that's powerful. And that's what I love, because honestly, just being transparent, I hadn't heard of anybody doing what you're doing.
Wow.
You know, and I'm out here, you know, networking and everything. And so that is very profound to say that, because I'm a survivor of domestic violence. But the key is what really resonates with me is because it started at 13.
Yeah.
Right. It started 13, 14, you know, and so I really want to dive into it because it's powerful and it resonated with me, because that teen dating, you thinking that person love you or, you know, especially coming from my background, like you said, you've seen a lot of things, you know, you know, whatever that is. And I did too. And so I thought it was powerful hearing it from a male perspective, you know. Yeah. So many times the women are on here talking, but, you know, we need to know what that looks like, both from a male perspective and a female perspective. Right. Yeah. So thank you so much for what you do. We're going to dive into it. Like, I don't even want to keep people waiting, you know. So I have the first question is this. How can we differentiate between genuine romantic gestures and early signs of control in young adult relationships?
I think if we just be honest with the person and let them know what you're expecting and what you want, You can't expect somebody to want the same thing that you want. She can just want conversation and she can just want to spend time with you, but that don't necessarily mean she want to take it to the next level. She don't want to be touched, or when she don't want to be touched in places that she don't want to be touched in. So I think when I go back to the schools and go into the communities, I let them know consent is a big thing. You need to make sure your partner is consenting to those things. Like, ask her, hey, how do you feel if I touch you here? What do you think our relationship looks like? Like, am I the only one want to move to the next level? And if we just be honest with our partner, that's how you can deviate what looks like control and what looks like consent. Because if you just going in there touching her and she's scared to say something, now you got that power over her. You got that control. She's coming from a fear factor now, because she feel like, I can't say nothing. He gonna get mad. He don't want to talk to me. Things like that. So if we just be honest with our partner up front, I think it'll be a better in a safe space.
I like that, because consent is everything, right? And sometimes we assume that everybody wants what we want,
yeah,
right? And I like what you said too, because I was one of those people. You know, I was looking for love.
Yeah.
My father left at an early age, you know, and so it was just me and my mom. And I saw the domestic violence in the home. I saw it with her, you know, getting beat up, model tail cocktail bombs. I say this all the time because these are my memories, you know, that our house on fire. We can't get out. I'm like, what do we gotta do? Right. So that consent, because, you know, if they don't understand how to differentiate between that, they would really assume that, okay, that's okay. Or going along to get along.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's deep. Now, what are some subtle behaviors that might indicate a shift from romance to control in a dating relationship?
So I would say a shift is he gets aggravated with everything you do when things are not going his way, or the same thing with her. When things are not going her way, she gets aggravated with every little thing. They don't want to be bothered with you now. Anything that you do rubs them the wrong way. And you can kind of see that, because you beforehand, you guys can talk about things, go places, they can say certain things and it would be okay. But now those same things that you're saying and doing and just rubbing them the wrong way, that means that something happened to make that shift. And that control comes from, all right, I want to make out. You said that we was going to make out. And then now when you say, oh, not right now, or I don't want to do this right now, they quit the snap. That means obviously it ain't going right. They want that control. They want you to do everything that they want you to do and you're not feeling it. And that's when the things shift.
That's powerful, because a lot of times we want to say, oh, girl, his daddy made him mad, we start ignoring those signs. So I'm glad that you brought that up, right? Because when you first was going out with him, you know, he's like, oh, girl, oh, you fine, girl.
You good. Oh, yeah.
Baby, yes, right?
Yeah.
Then when you start showing a little bit of respect for yourself, or you start pulling back, now it's like, oh, okay, you ain't going to give me what I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
You weren't saying that a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago. Now, what's the difference? Like,
yeah.
Now you're irritated.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because now it's like, okay, I can't control you.
Nope.
So what do I do? I'm going to have an attitude and I'm going to try to mind control you, because I can't do what I want.
Yep.
That's powerful. Now, in your research, have you found any common misconceptions about what constitutes healthy versus unhealthy behavior in young adult dating?
So I would say, doing my research, I find out more that they focus more on location and more than it's the location, and they don't understand what stalking is. Like, and that's very big and healthy and unhealthy relationships. Stalking is very bad, but they don't know the meaning of stalking. We know stalking. If I don't pick up the phone and you just pop up to my house or you pop up to any location that I'm at, that's considered stalking. If I'm watching your page or watching your friend's page, that's considered stalking. I go to these schools and the communities and the kids are telling me, that means they just care about you. I ain't pick up the phone and he just popped up. That means he really loves me. No. My mama, back in the day, where I'm from, my mama used to tell me, it don't matter, family, friends, whoever. If I don't invite you over, don't just be popping up at my house. Don't pop up at my house. And they don't understand that. Well, he gave me the location yesterday. That was yesterday. He told you yes yesterday. But today is a new day. Oh, he told me he was going to be at work, but he ain't at work. I see him on Facebook with his friends at a friend house. Why you watching his page? Yeah, it's wrong to lie, but that's considered stalking. And we run into that a lot. A lot of the people, a lot of these teens don't know the difference between stalking and not stalking. And that's very big in our community. And I try to teach that it don't matter. We have to have those consents to pop up to your house. If you tell me today is good, that don't mean tomorrow's going to be good. I don't know what you got going on. I don't know if you got somebody that I don't like over there or not in a good space with over there. Or you just doing something, you know, anything at your house. It's your space. I shouldn't be just popping up without that approval.
That is so good, Jay, because I thought it was love.
Yeah.
You know, you do. Because, and especially, and I'm kind of off topic a little bit, but especially when you're looking for love. Yeah. Right? So when, like I said, my dad left early, so I wanted a man to love me. I needed, you know, because I'm seeing these men around my mom beating her butt. Like, they whooping her ass. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, literally. Yep. And I'm sitting up here like,
yeah, you know? I'm a victim to it too, because my dad used to do the same thing to my mom, and we had to swallow that pill, like go to school, be around our friends, and live a normal life. Like, things ain't happening at home, but we see it. These are the things I tell them today. We see these things, and we think just because it's not happening to me physically, it ain't happening to me. But we are a victim.
We are.
We see this.
I like what you said though, because people think men don't go through it. That's the first thing. But what I think is even more powerful is that you didn't become a victim and do the same thing.
Yeah.
What you did is took what you saw, what you learned. Like you said, you hadn't seen anybody like you come back and say, okay, we don't have to do what my daddy did, right? Yep. Because I always tell people, and I don't mean that words cannot teach you something if you hear them. I'm saying typically words don't teach. Typically you do what you see. It's just a given. If I see you, you know, I grew up, do as I say, not as I do. Yep. I hear you, but I saw you getting your ass whooped.
Yep.
Right? Yep. And so even though I said what I wasn't going to do, it was a learned behavior in my subconscious. And it was so easy for me to do because I didn't know that I wanted so. Because even though my dad left to a degree, my mom wasn't there either. She too busy going through her stuff. She's broken.
Yep.
So she, to a degree, not intentionally, I'm sure, you know, but she abandoned me. So now here I have abandonment issues. I need a man to show me how to really love, right? Yep. But he's not here because he's with his new wife. And I see him on the weekends, but that's not the same because so I see my mama getting whooped every day almost.
Yep.
Yep. So I really want to commend you because you could have been the same person your dad was.
And, right? I like to tell them, like, it's just that feeling. I don't think people understand the feeling. That's what made me, and in a sense, I think helped me not go down that path. Like seeing my parents, seeing my mother hurt, got to wear shades to the store around family members, can't come to football games, basketball games because of the shape that she in. I would never want to, you know, put somebody through that feeling. Like that's, it's just embarrassing. Like you see kids with their parents. Where your parent at? Why is she never at the games? Why your father never showing up? And those things rub me the wrong way. And it's like, that's the reason why I would never do certain things. Like, because I know how that feel. I would never want a child to feel that way that I feel. And just, it was just, you know, traumatizing. I like to tell people, like, it's okay. You got to be able to, you know, share your feelings. Don't bottle it down like me and wait till years and years and let it just blow up on you, and now you can't make certain relationships, and none of your relationships is going well because you're still dealing with that past trauma and the things that you've seen as a child.
That's deep. And that's very powerful because that's true. We carry that weight. And you said something earlier that I really got to piggyback on and go back to when you said you watched your mom go through it. And then now you expect her to go to school and be normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that is such a heavy weight for a child to carry.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. And I mentioned this before in one of my shows, because I'm like, now you want me to go after I see you, you know, I'm standing side by side with you and this man got a 38 pulled on us. Not just you, us. Mm-hmm. I'm a kid. Now yeah. you want me to go to school tomorrow and get a good grade.
Yeah.
You know, pass yeah. that test. How? Right. And so I think that's a lot to put on a child and expect them to be normal and expect mm-hmm. him to go out into society and be normal when we never got the counseling. We never got the person to come and talk to us and say it's going to be okay. We just had to thug it out real talk.
Yep.
You know, and just so swallow I that really, pill. Yeah.
We had to just swallow and keep going.
Keep going and smile. And then and wonder smile. Why so many people now wear masks.
Yeah.
That's how we were raised. Thug yeah. it out. I know you hurting so bad. I know you getting molested. I know he beating your mama. I know yeah. y'all ain't got no food. That's okay. Yeah. Eat this bread. Go to school. Don't tell my business.
You know it.
So go on in this house. Stay in this house. You better not tell nobody what your daddy did.
Yep.
Your daddy paid his bills.
Every day. Same thing every day. Don't tell nobody what's going on in my house. But, you know, and you had to swallow that pill and put on this facade and put on that mask and go in and do the best that you can.
That you can. And yeah. sometimes your best just wasn't good enough and you beating yourself up because you don't understand it as a kid. When all actuality, you shouldn't even be going through half of the stuff you're going through.
Shouldn't be going through it. And I like that. I used to say this a lot, like, y'all saying that, you know, the kids are not reading on a great level or not living up to their potential, but we don't know the ins and the outs. Yes, some of them probably ain't have that, you know, structure to do the work, or they probably didn't have a parent to really care about their education. But half of us are living with the problems that we live with. So you think we really thinking about schoolwork and things like that? We, no. Only time we're doing schoolwork is when we come there to try to put on our best to get away from what we're going through at home. That's but that still mess with everything. So it mess with the reading levels, it mess with everything, the writing skills, all that, because all this is on your mind and you can't even read properly, write sentences and focus, purely focus in sports, focus on anything, because all this is going on.
Yeah, and it affects your communication.
Yeah.
How do I communicate? Or you wonder why people become introverted, you know, where nobody's hearing me anyway. I got to shut up. I can't tell. I got to hold it in. So then when it's time to deal with the real world or express how you feel, you lose it. Yeah. Or that's when the anger comes in and the abuse comes in because they don't know what to do with it. And that can start very early. Right. Because I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I was looking for it at 13 or 14 because I was ready to escape what I saw at home. Something, it had to be better than this.
Yep.
Only to find out that my first daughter's father was my first abuser.
Wow.
You know, so I'm looking for love. I'm like, oh, so the first man that come and tell you you cute. I didn't recognize the stalking. I didn't recognize the who you talking to. Times. You know, girl, he love me. Girl, he is into me.
Yeah. He care about me so much, but it's not.
It's just an obsession.
Yeah.
And then not understanding that he came from a broken home. He's seeing her. His father was an alcoholic. Now he looking at what's going on with him and his mom and them fighting, going through. And so he's releasing that anger on
you. Projecting that same thing out on you.
That's crazy. Man, we can go on forever. All right, let me ask you another question. So can you share any strategies or tools for empowering young adults to identify and address warning signs of domestic violence early on?
I would say, yeah, pay attention to the warning signs. Definitely, some of the warning signs are definitely if they control it, if they constantly want to check your phone or constantly want to know your whereabouts or who you talking to or who you hang with, things like that. It's warning signs. Yeah, you can know a few of my friends, but you don't need to know everybody. You don't need to know where all I've been or why you constantly checking my phone. If you trust me, you shouldn't be going through and snipping and looking through my phone or my messages and things like that. And I think the teens don't notice that. Like, they just okay with it. Like I said, they don't know the difference between stalking and not stalking. So they share location, and then you got the location for 24/7 instead of just for that one day. They think, all right, this is okay because this is my boyfriend, this is my girlfriend. They need to know my everywhere abouts, but technically they don't. Mm-hmm. Because your mother, your parent, or that friend probably like that privacy, and they don't want somebody just, you know, coming around. Mm-hmm. Also warning signs to look for, how they treat others, how they treat they friends and family. Like, if you got somebody constantly being negative to their family, their friends, you think you want to lay down with that person? Because in those early stages, guess what they talk about? Oh, family. And you know, they young, they shouldn't be talking about that. But you want to know about these traits, and you end up making mistakes. So I don't want to say mistakes, but you end up having a baby or things like that. But mm-hmm. guess what? Now you in a relationship with a person who won't even treat their family right. Right. You want to bring a child into the life, and they can't even treat their family right. Why would you want a child to go through those things? So I also think character. My grandma was very, very big. The person gonna show you who they are day one. You know, it's like a photo. The way they show you how they act the first day, that's what you're gonna remember them by. Mm-hmm. And I like to share that to everybody I come across. They gonna show you their real self. It gives them a matter of time. So take what you believe. I never have big expectations like that, because younger, I will always listen to a family member or listen to my dad, and they'll promise me all these things, and it will constantly fall flat in my face. Like, it will never go through. So that's why I'm not really big on expectations. And I say people gonna show you who they are when you first meet them.
I love that. Yeah, what's that saying? When people show you who they are, believe them the first time.
Yeah.
I know you. I like that, because you said controlling, phone checking, harassing. You know what I'm saying? How you treat y'all? Like, that was something I had to look at too in retrospect. You know, of course, you don't think, because you think you in love at the time, but I'm looking like, dang, he fighting his mama.
Why?
How you gonna fight your mama? Like, your mama gave you life.
Gave you life.
And you going toe-to-toe like you're a man, and you're a fight like grown man. Yep. And I'm like, wow, this is dysfunction, but I didn't realize that you cursing your mama.
You think she the problem? Oh, she just pissed him off. You know, she
shouldn't have really talked to him like that, because he's a grown man, because whatever it is to protect your abuser.
Then
I would like to add the repetitive phone calling. Answer your phone.
Answer your phone.
Why you ain't answer my call?
Thousands of messages when you don't respond. What you doing? Where you at? Are you not going to respond to me?
Who you with? All controlling signs. Why are you so obsessed with me? What were you doing before you knew me, sir? You didn't know what I was doing before I met. Why are you calling me? And you don't know, girl, my baby want to know where I'm at. This is what women think. Yep. I can't speak from a male, but from a female, having gone through this, it's like, we talking to our girlfriends, you know, we 14, 16, 18 even. Let's be real, because you still a kid. You know, so you on the phone, girl, my man, girl, he done called me 10 times. Girl, I don't even know what he wrote. You know, we thinking it's just beautiful.
Yep.
Because in my instance, I was looking for love. And the first man that came along, you cute, slapped me on the butt. You know, oh, he loved me. He told me I was cute. He giving me some attention, girl. My daddy don't even look out for me like this. He want to know why I'm at it all times.
All times. Right? He showed me that he cares.
And then what I learned, the elevation of a dispute, if you will. Yeah. So like, maybe we talking and now you yelling. And now the yell has gone into you here in my face. Yep. And then the
grabbing.
Right. And then now you done grabbed me, or you pushed me. And then the push became the slap, and the slap became the punch, and the punch became the drag up the railroad tracks, and the drag up the railroad tracks became the sawed-off shotgun to me. Right.
You know it. Yeah.
And so it is so important. Like, I'm, this is such a dope session that we're talking about, because I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
Nobody said and told me. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I was an only child with my mom and dad.
Wow. That's right. Crazy.
The other siblings came along later. So I didn't have a big brother to be like, I'm going to get my brother, going to kick your, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. My big cousin. I was secluded. We were isolated. It was me and my mom. Shut up. Don't tell.
Yeah.
Be quiet. Now here I am. This man comes. And so that's what it was. He and my friend, you hear me? Who is that? And I'm like, let me call you back. I was on the phone because I'm thinking I'm a teenager. I can just talk to other people. This was a dude I went to school with.
Yeah.
I end up getting my lips busted.
Can't be, you can't talk to nobody if it ain't him.
Can't talk to nobody. So nope. I thank you for sharing that, because so many of us don't know what that looks like. Now, I want to ask you, how do societal norms and media portrayals of romance influence young adults' perception of healthy relationships?
Man, social media. Oh my God. You know, everybody sees social media and think that that's real life. It's not the real life, because I could post pictures all day and say that I'm happy and I'm happy and I'm happy, but I'm not. You know, it's fake. It's fantasy. So I think when you too big into social media or just media period, like you believe that this stuff is real, but it's not. Ain't no way you're not having real problems. I'm not saying people don't have problems, but it's like, you get on there like everything is perfect. So you brainwashing these kids to make it seem that this is that type of lifestyle, that it is good. No, it's not good. You taking thousands of pictures. Oh, I love my man. I love my woman. Y'all got each other, had each other social media pages and things. We shouldn't be doing none of that, because now these kids think they can do it. It's still evading privacy. It's like, it's just, I just don't, I'm not a big fan of the social media.
I agree. And like, I made a post, I think last week, I'm like, you only know what I show you.
And that's right.
Right. And that's the whole thing. Like, let's real talk. Like, people will post a picture and be getting ready to kill themselves.
Yep. Yep.
No shade. Like, people will be like, you know what I'm saying? Really posting a picture, how happy they are. Oh, life is great. And the next thing you know, Robert Earl gone.
Yep.
And it's a facade. And I think what you just said kind of to a degree proves my point. Words don't teach. You said kids see it and now they think they can do it.
They can do it.
We see actions teach, because if you tell me that you love me, and this is an analogy I give all the time, but this is real talk. If you tell me you love me and I'm listening to your words, but yet you punching me in my face every day, do I believe your words or do I believe your actions?
Yeah.
Your actions telling me you can't stand me.
Yep.
Your actions telling me you hate me. So that goes back to the words don't teach. What are you doing? And so when these kids are saying this, and I get that you can't be, you know, responsible for society.
Yeah, you can't.
But you have to keep in mind, at least be real with these kids. At least give them the true, raw essence of what's really happening. Everything is not a picnic. It is not easy to keep a relationship together. It is not easy adulting, you know. But we sit and we on the island. Oh, my boo. Oh, my. Yeah. And then you get off and he calling you all kind of bitches.
Oh, y'all talking each other. Y'all talking about each other on different social media accounts. Oh, I can't stand her. Oh, I never should have been with her. Like, things like, oh, you talking to your friend about each other. Like, but y'all was just posted up. Oh, I love this, the love of my life, my forever. No, man.
No.
We gotta be honest. And that one thing I learned about these kids, when I started first working with kids, they will respect you more for keeping it real. You do not have to lie to them. Just be honest. Let them know what it is, because you're up here trying to sugarcoat it, and they gonna eventually find out the real eventually. And then they just not gonna respect you.
At all. And that's the whole thing about it. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
All is so fake. You know, that's the one reason why I don't sugarcoat it. Like, I've been a runaway. I ran away from home at 14. Never went back home. you know, I kind of told you a little bit of my story or whatever. Excuse me, never want to be redundant, but I did that. And I mention it because that was rough. It's not because I want an honor or a badge for it.
No.
It was a tough feat when you don't have the resources like this in place. We didn't have podcasts.
No, we did.
We didn't have, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have these things. So when we can create these type of platforms for people to hear the truth.
Yeah.
Without sugarcoating, hopefully if we get enough of this out there, people can hear the signs. People can hear it's not the location of where you're at. It's the person you're dealing with. It's the mindset of the person. It's the background. Yeah. It's the history. What do they stand for? What is the, you know, culture? What are their mental issues?
Yeah.
And so social media can definitely be deceiving because, again, we did not have those things.
It wasn't really big back then. No,
no, it was out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I know you're a little young. I'm 51, so I know that I'm older than you, but still, you're an adult, you're grown, you experienced it, you came back. And for me, age does not necessarily mean wisdom.
No.
So I never look at a person, oh, you're younger than me. You
can learn something every day. Yes.
A baby can teach you something. So I'm always open to learn and dive into that. And that's the thing. That's why I created this platform, because it doesn't matter. We're verbal mirrors.
Yeah.
We need to reflect that understanding though. Right? Yeah. Now here you are all the way, you know what I'm saying, in a whole nother city and state experiencing something that I went through from a completely different perspective as a male. But now here we are. The universe connects us together so we can tell this story. Regardless of background, regardless of gender, right? Yeah. But being able to put this platform together so we can put some real stuff out there on social media to kind of get people away from that fictitious, let me put the mask on. No, this is what it is. Nah. As soon as you see it, run. Hey.
Yep. These are the signs you need to look for. Yep.
Yeah. I really, oh my God, I wish I knew you back then. I promise. Like, because.
And like you said, I wish I knew other people back then that was dealing with the same thing, because I would have probably had a better childhood. I would have probably had a better, you know, experience with this. Not saying that you're going to get a great experience with this, but it's just a simple fact that, all right, it's not only me that's going through it, because men, I like to tell my young men this all the time. We learning from other old men to holding our pride and holding all this. Oh, I'm not telling nobody what I'm going through because it's going to make me look soft and I ain't pussy, ain't none of that. So I would wish I would have knew somebody younger that went through this. So, all right, now I can really open up. Now I can get this burden off my chest and I ain't got to deal with this. And maybe I would have had better grades in school. Maybe I would have did 100% more in school or any activity that I did. But I'm glad that now that people are really getting with each other and we have these platforms and people can do their research and listen and hear that people are going through it just like them, so they don't have to live with this by themselves.
Right. And that we survived it.
Yeah, survived.
Because it's one thing to hear it, right?
Yeah.
The whole premise of this platform to me is not just to hear it. Hear that somebody survived, to hear that there's somebody else out there like you. And then there's a call to action. There's something you can do. There's some place you can go. There's a number you can call. There's some help you can get, right? Now you know what to look for, right? Yeah. And I know we're going to dive into, you know, giving that information out later, but that's why I wanted this, because let's not just talk. What do we do now?
Yeah.
Right? So, I love it. Now, what role do communication patterns play in either perpetuating or mitigating early warning signs of domestic violence in young adult relationships?
Very, very big. Communication is very, very big. I think if we pay more to the communication signs, then it will help us out a lot. People, we just ignore certain things that they say. Because a person gonna say something, and they can say it in a joking way, but they have, I feel like they have different intentions behind it. like me, I would never, you know, downplay none of my friends or anybody I'm in a relationship. I don't make slick comments or comments that low key was joking matter, but it turned out to be serious. I don't do things like that because I feel like if you said it in a joke way, you kind of meant that. You kind of, it's some truth behind it. So I kind of like never play with people when it comes to communication. And a lot of these kids don't see that. Like, if you playing, yeah, y'all can be play fighting and play joking. And if he say, oh, it's another female out there just like you. I mean, obviously he was seeking that already. Mm-hmm. Same thing, like female, oh, it's another you out there. Obviously you was already looking. So yeah. Why would you say things like that, you know?
Right. And words are powerful.
And words are powerful.
Words are powerful. What you speak matters. What you think matters. And communication, I agree, is pivotal because it's everything. And in communicating and ignoring, I like what you said, ignoring. Because we can see a child come to school and at first she was really dressing really nice, well kept. And then she'll come back to school and now she ain't really, right, keeping herself up. She's more secluded. She's not really talking. And nobody asks why.
Nope.
Nobody pulls her to the side and be like, dang, Becky is, you know, Becky different. Like, Becky always dressed and always was outgoing. For the past 3 months, Becky has not been, like, what's wrong with Becky?
Yeah.
Then we found out later, Becky's been molested or physically abused or her boyfriend's beating her up. You know, and we ignored those signs. We didn't communicate. We just go along to get along, ignoring, because we don't want to be in the middle. We don't want to ruffle no feathers. But in all actuality, has somebody said something to Becky maybe 2.5 months ago when they first saw the signs and symptoms and communicated with Becky? Because nonverbal communication is communication.
Yep.
And that's what people don't understand.
Totally right.
You know, and another thing, avoidance is a form of communication. It can be a form of manipulation.
Yeah.
That's another sign of control. If I avoid him, if I avoid her, it's going to make him want me more. It's going to make her want me more. She's going to call me now because I'm not, I'm going to avoid her now. I'm going to see you calling.
Yep.
Right? So that communication is pivotal because if we don't know how to communicate, that type of communication can be very deceiving.
And we'll miss those signs.
Man, I'm enjoying chopping it up.
That's very big. Yeah, because that communication plays a very, very big part. And I don't think people really pay attention to the importance of it. Like you said, nonverbal. Nonverbal is a very big one. We see it a lot, especially in teens. You know, teens, they growing up, they dealing with their hormones, they coming into becoming their own little person. And now they stop sharing with their parents or their loved ones, and now they off to themselves and they don't want to talk more, or they snappy more, or they better looking you in your eyes, and they always sneaky and things like that. We have to pay attention to those signs because 9 times out of 10, something is happening that's causing a change in their life.
It is. And even when they're acting out with anger, something they're seeing, no child is just angry for anything, just nothing. Something's happening.
Something is right. Wrong.
And that communication, because we ignore those signs. And this just kind of segues into my next question, though, but we're going to bring the parents and educators into it, because we're talking about signs, but are there any specific red flags that parents or educators should be aware of when supporting young adults in their dating lives?
Yes. If they feel like you don't care, they wouldn't share. Like, for instance, like I was in a class and everything we talked about, the young lady said, it ain't like nobody care anyway, so it don't matter. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that at home, anything, or just your circle, period, anything that you share, you feel like nobody supports you or care. So when you have a response like that, that means obviously you feel like nobody cares about any opinion or anything that you got going on. And that's very big, because normally 9 times out of 10, when you feel like that, you ain't giving it your all at anything that you do. Or it don't matter. I'm gonna get it wrong anyway. Boy, it don't matter. You don't care anyway. Boy, it don't matter. This and that. So that's very important to support. I feel like no matter what, even if we disagree with our kids, we have to support them. They live in their own battles. They got to fight their own battles. We made our own mistakes and fought our own battles. Now it's their turn. We can try to guide them, but we can't stop them from making mistakes because they got to learn.
Real talk.
And I used to tell my mom that a lot. Yeah, I understand you don't want me to make the mistakes that you made, but I still go come across things that you never even witnessed or been through. And I have to fight that battle by myself. I just need you as my backbone. I need that support. I need you to guide me and help me get back on track. And that's all we can do is just support and guide.
That is so dope. And that's true. And the educators too, because they're with these children, you know, with these teens or whatever, more than the parents sometimes, or just as much. You got them for 8 hours, you know? And so I like what that support thing, that's powerful to me, because I didn't feel like I had that support. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I had that support. And it was, and so in essence, I tell people, because I'm 51 now, and I tell people, this is the most peace I've ever had in my entire life. And people look at me like I'm crazy, because I'm like, you know, even as a child, especially as a child, I fought. I was so busy fighting so many inner wars in the home, in my mind, growing up, developing, being a teen mother at 13 years old, having Barbie dolls, being pregnant in my stomach, you know, just like being abused, like by my boyfriend, you know, it's just like all of these things. And it's like, had I had the support, I remember telling my mother, and I tell this story, but it was the truth. And my mother is never to tear my mom down, because we are, that's my heart now. Yeah. I always tell people, I guess she did the best she could with what she had. It is what it is, because there's no books to this, right?
That's what it is.
I don't judge her. I did. Oh, I judged her, because I was like, how could you? How could you make me hurt like that? But I remember telling her, as an adult, I think I was in my 20s, you know, and I told her that I had been molested. And instead of her being like, oh my God, baby, what? Yeah. No, she turned around and she said, well, my uncle so-and-so busted my cherry. Wow. That's not support. Yeah. That's, you think that's something, girl?
Let me
listen to this.
Yeah, let me talk.
I'm going to top this. And that's when I knew broken people or hurt people.
Hurt people, yep.
Right. Yeah. And so a lot of times we're looking for this apology or something from people that they don't have the capacity to give.
No.
You know, and so I think that it's imperative that we pay attention to the signs, and as parents, look at our children and not try to, when I was growing up, well, and they're not you.
I want to touch on that, because you say you're 51 and it's the most peace you had. That says a lot. That speaks volume, because you were 13, had a child, going through all these things. And back then, we used to hear adults all the time, you don't know what stress is. How you stress? What are you going through? What could you be possibly going through? But you don't know what's going on in that house. Right. You don't know what's going on in their life. So I never like to put judgment on anybody. If they say they're stressed, hey, I understand, because I was there. I was stressed at a young age. And like you said, when you get older now, surviving it, now coming up on your own, got your own thing, and you older, you start, you know, to feel good. Now I feel free. I ain't got to live with the burden and things that I was living with when I was younger.
Yeah, you're able to release it. And that's what I had to find. You know, people like, oh, my God, you seem so happy. I am. Because I let that shit go.
Let it go.
You know what I mean? I had to realize I was not a victim of my circumstances. Yeah, I ran away from home, but that was 30, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, you cannot stay in the same place stagnant. But as parents, it can be a double-edged sword, because being a victim at the time caused me to be a completely overprotective parent. So now my kids, I don't know, whose house is that? No, you're not going over there. Who? Yeah. They come over here. Do they got a boyfriend? No, you're not going. Right? And so it made me be so overprotective that it kind of, not severed, because me and my children are very close now, but it did hinder our relationship. It affected it because I took my hurts, my pains, and put it on them, and it wasn't fair. You know, it wasn't fair, The only thing I can say out of it is that they don't have the Me Too story, though.
Yeah, and that's great.
No, they weren't touched, okay. But then sometimes, you know, and that was great. But then sometimes I'm like, okay, but at what cost? What else did you do to them? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mentally, because of your hurts and your fears. So I think that's powerful as far as what you said, being that support for parents, because you got to be. You know, the kids, they need us, and I don't think we get it. And it's their life to live. It's our job to guide.
Yep. It's our job to guide.
I like what you said. Yeah, we got them. It's not for us to live through them vicariously. Well, you're going to be a basketball player, son. I remember I was on the court. I was a good. No. He want to play football. Leave him alone.
Yep. He want to be a boss.
And support his dream.
Yep.
Real talk. Yeah. All right. So have you observed any gender differences in how early warning signs of domestic violence manifest in young adult relationships? So, like, the gender differences with that.
Oh, I can tell you right now, the young men don't believe in stalking at all. They don't believe in it. They really don't. I say, what you mean that you don't think that's stalking? Oh, man, my shorty can look at my page anytime she want. But, yeah, what if you doing the wrong? Well, she is there for her to look at it. She can have my page, okay? But the females on the other end, you know how that get. Oh, if he's doing something he ain't supposed to be doing, then I'm going to look at it. It ain't stalking to just look on his friend's page and this and that. I'm telling you, it is.
It is.
So you got on one end, the males don't believe at it at all. It don't matter at all. I noticed this coming up here. A lot of the teens don't believe stalking at all. They don't think it exists. They really don't. Some females, most females up here, they say the only way they think it's stalking if they done with the relationship, not while they in the relationship. And I'm like, so just because you broke up with him and he popping up, that's stalking. But since y'all in a relationship, it's not stalking. Yep, it's not stalking because that's my man and my man can do what he want. What?
My man is my man. That's how
do what he want. What if somebody just randomly walk up to your house, knock on the door, you know, and, you know, dudes flirt. They see a nice female, they flirt. Not intentionally saying that you guys going to get them the time of day or whatever. But what if your dude pop up and see that? That ain't no red flag. Then now you put yourself in a situation and it's like, all right, I ain't doing nothing. But it's like, what is he thinking? Why this dude over here? You know?
Yeah, and why does he need to know your location?
And why you just popped up out of nowhere at this time? Then randomly a dude just show up to your door and randomly you pop up at the same time. That ain't crazy to you?
That's like, not normal. It's not normal. That's wow. I mean, but I can see the dudes, because, like, you know, they swear they some players out here. Nah, that's my short.
They don't believe it.
Hey, man, that you see it, you know, I can imagine.
They believe in it. They don't believe it at all. And I'm sitting there like, bro, you really don't think that started? No, man, shorty just, she good. She be tripping sometimes, but she care about me. What? Okay. Wow. Okay, she checking your phone while you sleep in all of your messages. Had a nerd to tell me, if his Instagram is on my phone and I got my profile and I made a mistake and clicked on his profile, but I can see all his messages, that's stalking. Yes, because you ain't leave that page. You should have left it immediately. No, but it's on my phone. He put it on my phone. Okay, that's stalking. Okay.
Then they see something they don't like.
Yep.
Then the attitudes and the anger boils. And then we get into some situations that he ain't just your man now. He's a stalker now. She ain't just your girl, your shorty now. Now all of a sudden she outside the bushes ready to fight your girlfriend, your new girl.
What?
Right? And they don't, and I can see that because, and I think, and I could be wrong, but especially just listening to something you said, like when you say, you know, men, especially, and I can't talk about all men, but I know in the African-American community are raised, you know, hold it in.
Hold it in.
You know, real men don't cry. Nigga, mess it up.
You know what?
You know what I'm saying?
You soft. Like, what you nigga, crying for?
Oh, yeah. You a hoe out here, nigga. Oh,
yeah. You
right. And so now you carrying that And you got this man out here or this boy who's listening to that. Yep. Now you he looking at you and you got him looking like a hoe or a pussy or whatever. Now he ready to spaz.
Yep.
Now, because it was so subtle and now you didn't know because you missed the signs.
Yep.
You didn't want to think. Just because girls carry guns. Girls, I'm going to be real. Some of the women out here more ruthless than the men.
Hey, and it gets like that.
They ready to go. They a goer. They ready. Yep. Like, girl, meet me over here. We about to go rob it over there with Lisa.
Yeah. Listen, I know at an early age, I knew the females was dangerous. More, I feel like more dangerous than male. When my sister used to go at it with her significant other at the time. And what? She used to do some things. And I'm like, what? I don't think dudes thinking of that. Ain't nobody coming to mess up no engine. Ain't nobody finna put sugar in your tank and Snicker bars and bust your window. Ain't thinking about that. Hey, yeah. What?
And we don't know it, but that's a point of obsession and stalking.
Yeah.
We done lost it. We done lost our self-control and we letting this person control us to a point that we have lost our sense
Can't
of control.
Can't even witness yourself no more. You don't even know. You don't notice what's going on now.
Yeah. And then you find yourself protecting your abuser.
Yep.
Because we done went through. I know because he ain't like that. Girl, the only reason why he pushed me is because I was kind of in his way at the door. Like, he could have went around if I hadn't just moved.
It was my fault. Yeah, it wasn't your fault.
It wasn't your fault. That was in him. Yep. And that's who he is. That's who she is. The reason why she slit your tires is because there's something not quite right. Yep. And the next time it might not be your tires.
It won't be. It won't be.
Right? Last question. what resources or support systems are available for young adults who suspect they may be experiencing early warning signs of domestic violence in their relationships?
I say there's a lot of resources out there. They can come to us for once, Brightwood Community Center. You can go to DBN, Domestic Violence Network. You have different local resources out there as well. I can't think of most of them off the top of my head, but you got like the Blossom House and they help with males. You have, there's a few others out there, but I know most importantly, us and DBN, Domestic Violence Network, we definitely help and talk you through the signs and get you to the right places.
I love that. Before we go, and I'll definitely make sure you give out contact information, but is there anything, because you have the experience, you know, both from both sides of it and being out grassroots, feet to the ground, to the pavement, going in these schools, seeing it. Is there anything that we didn't touch that you want to leave the people with that they need to know or that you want to share? And then make sure you share your contact information as well.
I would just say support each other, motivate each other. Especially in an African-American background, we don't really support each other. It's a dog-eat-dog world out here. We want to be the best one. It's just us. We like crabs in a bucket. We don't want to see nobody go up without us. So support each other. It don't cost you nothing to support somebody, to share something on a post, to send a text message out, like, definitely support each other. I'm very big on that. And motivation, too, because we have a lot of people that's just not motivated. And we quick to kick them down and downplay them. And, oh, they lazy and this and that. Maybe they just, you know, around a different circle that's, you know, lazy. And I say, you are who you are in your circle. If my circle is a whole bunch of bait robbers, what am I be? If I drink, that's all my circle gonna do. So you want to make sure you put yourself around some powerful people, some smart people. I make sure the circle I'm with, they smarter than me because I'm striving to get where they at. I'm not trying to be stagnant. Like you said, you don't want to maintain. You don't want to be stagnant. I want to be better. So I always put myself in a room full of powerful people so I can get where they at, get the knowledge. And never go in there with a full cup. I always be empty because I want to gain that knowledge. I'm trying to get where you at.
So I like that.
Support and motivate.
Go ahead and leave your information as well, like contact information. So, you know, we're here in Indianapolis, Indiana. So the Brightwood Community Center is here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Yes. I want people to know that's where we're from. Of course, if you're listening across the globe, you know, check out your city and state. We're just trying to let you know that there are resources. You know, sometimes they're not as easy to find, you know, but we want to put these platforms out, especially for our city and state, right? Yes. To let people know that these things are available. So you don't have to do this alone. So I want to definitely make sure that you leave that information, any contact information for people to get in touch with you. So they can reach out. Go ahead and leave that information as well.
So if you want to contact me through phone, the number is 317-602-4780, extension 4. I am the Youth Domestic Violence Advocate with Brightwood Community Center. You also can reach out to us. I also have the Adult Domestic Violence Advocate. Lex is my partner. And you can call that number and you can get in contact with both of us. Our address for the center is 2140 North Arsenal Ave. It's in Indy. And also you can reach me by email. It's J, the letter J, Lockett, Lockett, at brightwoodcc.org.
Yeah, that's dope. I appreciate it, man. I really, really appreciate you coming on. You know, I'm having you back on, you and Lex together. So I'm really excited about that. Very much needed topic. Like, I greatly appreciate your realness and your rawness. You know, just telling the truth about what's going on. That's what I need. And I'm excited, honestly, to have you back because I know we're going to chop it up, you know, about some other things, definitely. Yeah. But again, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we just want you to know that this is available. We want you to know that, you know, we're not just trying to leave you out here with a bunch of conversation. We want these conversations to really reflect and give you some understanding, but also some resources, right? Yes. Some support. I want to let you know, we are not any type of, you know, doctors, lawyers, anything. So if you are being abused in any shape, form, or fashion, call 911. Get you some help, right? And we will never tell anybody to stay in anything that is harmful to you. Seek help at all costs, whether it's a friend, a neighbor. So we want to make sure that you understand that we're not trying to tell you anything to do. We're just simply giving our experiences and putting it out on the line to let you know that you too can survive it. And that there are people just like you that are willing to help you if you want the help. So, Jay, I want to say thank you once again for all that you do. Thank you for coming on. I greatly appreciate you sharing your energy and space with me. Time is of the essence, and I don't think people really understand how important time is. So I really thank people for sharing their time with me. Right. Thank so much gratitude to you for that, but also much gratitude for you really coming back from your hurt, from your pain, from your traumas and surviving that. But then letting somebody else know, even like myself, that they too can survive it and that you're willing to help. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it straight from the king himself, Mr. Jay Lockett. He left all of his information. Again, we're going to close it out, but I want to thank you again. You know that you can reach us on Apple. You can reach us on iHeart. We are on Amazon. We are on Podbean.com. We are on YouTube. So you can reach Verbal Mirrors, Reflecting Understanding on so many platforms. Share. Let people know that this is out, right? Send it to friends. If you know someone needs support, like he said, because we all need to come back together and help one another. So I want to thank you again. We're going to close out with the video. As you know, we want to thank you for joining us, and we cannot wait to see you next week where we get down and give it to you raw and real on Verbal Mirrors Reflecting Understanding podcast. Have a wonderful week, ladies and gentlemen. Bye.
As we wrap up another episode of Verbal Mirrors Reflecting Understanding, we encourage you to carry the reflection sparked here into your daily interactions. Let the echoes of diverse perspective guide your journey towards greater empathy and connection. Thank you for being a part of our dialogue. Until next time, may your mirrors of understanding continue to reflect a world filled with compassion and unity.